It's my own big, fat, stupid head, isn't it? You didn't know how I was setting you up, did you? Just go along with it. It'll be okay. Next Sunday, very special Sunday for us. It is Serve Sunday. We're going to go out and we're going to worship next week and serve Jesus by serving other people. Marshfield Senior Living is a set of residences for seniors. And we're going to spend our morning there serving them. Jesus tells us that whatever we do for the least of others, we do for Him. And I'm going to send these sign-up sheets around. Many of you had a chance to do that last week. There is still some equipment that we need. And let me just highlight some of these things, because if you have this, and if maybe it doesn't get to you, I need you to make sure to chase this down. We need an axe. We need a pole saw, one of those saws that's on an extension, because we've got to get to some higher limbs. We need an edger, a couple of trimmers, some garden rakes. So I'm going to start this around over here. Just because you're a teenager doesn't mean you can't show up and help with this. In fact, you guys would be great with some of this work. So I'm going to start this around. When it gets back here, send it over to this section, then here, and then here. And if for whatever reason it doesn't get to you, chase it down after the service. And here's what the schedule next week's going to look like. We're going to gather here at the church at 8 a.m. I know it's early, but you can do it. And we're going to have just a real short worship service here in the morning. We're going to go ahead and have the coffee and donuts like we normally do. And then we're going to go from here out to the Marshfield Senior Housing. And we're going to work there throughout the morning doing a variety of projects. And then we're going to have lunch out there. And not only will that be a time of fellowship with us as a church body, but we've invited the residents to join us for lunch, and we're going to feed them as well. And so I'm hoping all of this gets done about 12:30, 1 o'clock. We can have this all wrapped up by then. But I'm excited about this. We're going to have several different things that you can be involved in. If you're in a situation where, hey, I can't paint, I can't rake, I can't do weed eating and that sort of stuff, one of the projects we're going to have is right here at the church. We're going to have the names of each and every resident there, and we're going to pray for them and write them some cards to let them know that we're thinking of them, that we love them, and we want to bless them in that way. So even in that, you can help with this project. Now, this morning's sermon is entitled Blessing Like a Hero Maker. And I was looking for a good attention-getting introduction. And so I did what any well-trained preacher with finely honed theological chops would do. I Googled. And I typed in the power of blessing. And I got all sorts of really deep stuff back. And I thought, well, that's just too heavy for a sermon introduction. I need something a little more lighthearted. So then I searched for funny blessings. And what I got was a screen full of Irish blessings. Now, I don't know what it is about the Irish and funny blessings. Maybe it's all the drinking they do. I don't know. If you're Irish, I apologize. But some of them were actually pretty funny. I'll share some of these with you. And I really wish that I could do an Irish accent to do these justice. But I just can't. But may the good Lord take a liking to you, but not too soon. May God bless you. May your troubles be as few and far apart as my grandma's teeth. May you die in bed at 95, shot by a jealous husband. May your coffin be made of the finest wood from a 100-year-old tree that I'll go plant tomorrow. May you live to be 100 years with one extra year to repent. Probably not the best way to live life, because you'll die at 99 in that case. But my personal favorite is this one. As you slide down the banisters of life, may the splinters never point the wrong way. Do we really understand what it means to bless someone? I mean, what do we say when someone sneezes? Man, bless you. I mean, could we not trivialize both blessing and the name of God any more than to use it as a meaningless phrase when somebody's allergies act up? Oh, God bless you. Now, you know where that tradition comes from. It was a medieval superstition that when you sneezed, your body was trying to expel or keep out evil spirits. And to say God bless you was sort of a talisman or a good luck charm to ward off evil. And we still do that to this day. And then there's this timeless Southern favorite, bless your heart. Now, do we have anybody from the Deep South here this morning? Dolly, how would you say that in true Southern fashion? Okay, here's what she's getting at. You know what that means when you translate it into proper English. Oh, you stupid idiot. May God have mercy on your poor soul. Isn't that about accurate? Yeah. You poor moron, yep. But when we truly understand what blessing really means and the power we have to bless the lives of others, it'll be a game changer in how we use it and how we go about making heroes in our life. I want to take you back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and kind of trace this idea of blessing in the Bible. And it begins in Genesis 12, 3, with God blessing Abraham. And he says to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And the root of the Hebrew word for blessing means to kneel. And what this was a picture of a son kneeling before his father to receive the traditional family blessing as the father passed on sort of the family responsibility, all the rights and responsibilities of being the head of the family. And that was passed from father to son. And so the idea here is that when God blesses us, we are kneeling before God, and as His children, He is laying His hands on us, and He is blessing us and bestowing us with His favor. And so when we bless someone else, we are bestowing favor on them. We are speaking words of life over them. We are instilling power within them. It is to call out the best of someone. But God doesn't bless us just so that we can receive a blessing. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. He wants His blessing to flow from our lives, through our lives, into the lives of others around us. If you read all of Genesis 12:3, it says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so God's blessing was going to pass through Abraham and spread to everyone. Going back to this picture of a child kneeling before the father to receive his blessing, this is why it is so important for us as fathers to bless our sons and daughters. In my years of experience as a pastor, there's nothing quite as powerful as a father's blessing in a son or a daughter. I was reading a pastor's blog, and this guy, particular guy, is a Latin American pastor, and so he does a lot of quinceanera services. And a quinceanera is a celebration of a girl's 15th birthday. It blesses her as she marks her transition from being a child into becoming a young woman. And he was talking about the power of blessing within this quinceanera service. And he says, it is extremely important that we speak life over our children. A blessing is defined as the act of declaring or wishing favor and goodness upon another. The blessing is not only the good effect of the words, in other words, the encouragement, but it has the power to bring it to pass. And so when a father says to a son, I wouldn't trade you for anything in the world. When a father says to his young daughter, out of all the little girls in the world, I would choose you to be my daughter every time. That has tremendous power. The power of blessing. To just simply say the words, I love you. And I'm proud of you. You mean so much to me. That blessing gives life and it gives power. Now, I don't usually make movie recommendations. But Friday night we were watching A Quiet Place. Has anybody seen that? And I would recommend A Quiet Place. If you can handle a little bit of intensity. But there's no sex. There's no language. In fact, there's hardly any talking. But it is a beautiful picture of a loving and devoted family. And you see a husband and a wife who are still in love. They're still dedicated to each other. Even though they've been together for years, they've had multiple children. You even see a beautiful picture of their faith. But there is this powerful scene. And to set this up, at the very beginning of the movie, they have a teenage daughter who plays an unfortunate role in the death of the youngest son. And this really affects her deeply. She feels guilty about it. She feels like it's her fault. And because of this, she thinks her dad blames her. And because of it, her dad doesn't love her. And she begins to interpret everything he says and does through this grid. And the premise of the movie is that Earth has been invaded by aliens with a super sense of hearing. And so you have to be quiet. You can't talk. But there's a scene where the father takes the middle son and they go to a waterfall and it's noisy enough that they can talk. And the son asks dad, do you blame my sister for the son's death? He says, no, I don't blame her. It was nobody's fault. And then he asks him, do you love her? And he says, of course I love her. And the son says, well, you need to tell her. And so you get to this climactic scene, and I don't want to give anything away, but the father is standing there, and the teenage daughter is watching. And in sign language, he looks her in the eye, and he says, I love you. I have always loved you. And that moment has transformative power in her life. It is the power of blessing. And dads have that kind of power. To not receive a father's blessing leaves us with a wound. Christian psychiatrists and counselors have taken note of this. They call it the father's wound. And to receive the father's wound, it doesn't require an abusive father. It doesn't require a malicious father or a father who is addictive. It just requires a father who is silent and distant, a father who is more shadow than substance, a father who may have even provided for our physical well-being, but didn't provide the emotional and spiritual sustenance that we need. Instead of words of blessing, many children grow up with words such as, that's not good enough. Why can't you do better? Why don't you try harder? You'll never amount to anything. Or sometimes just as bad, they hear nothing at all from their dads. But we not only need our father's acceptance, we need his approval. We need his blessing in our lives. And thankfully, what some of us never received from our earthly fathers, we have received in abundance from our heavenly Father. But in this series, as we are thinking about making heroes out of others and talking about how we might bless their lives, we need to realize that we have the power as people not just to bless the lives of our children, but we have the power to be a blessing or a curse in the lives of others. Our children are just amongst the closest and first heroes that we make. But hopefully they're not the only ones. Hopefully our lives are filled with potential heroes that we can pour our lives into. And if we want to bless like a hero maker, then we need to shift from asking God to bless my own life to asking God to bless the lives of others in my life through me. Let's not just pray, God bless me. We want to pray, God bless through me. Let me be a blessing. And in the book Hero Maker, the author identifies this as what he calls gift activating. Now let's look back at the five essential practices of a hero maker. Multiplication thinking, permission giving, disciple multiplying, gift activating, which we're looking at today, and kingdom building. And one of the keys of being a hero maker is blessing the heroes we make by encouraging them and empowering them to use their God-given spiritual gifts. Every single person who's a Christian has been gifted by God for ministry. And a spiritual gift is simply a divine enabling to do ministry, to serve others and to build up the body and touch the life of others in some way. And you're spiritually gifted the moment you become a Christian and choose to follow Jesus. The problem is we don't always understand what our gift is. We don't always understand how to use our gift. I mean, we don't come out of the waters of the baptistry and we're handed a slip of paper that says, this is your spiritual gift and here's how to use it. We don't know. And so we begin this process of beginning to serve others, and we kind of, through the process of trial and error, sometimes we discover what our gift is. And what a hero maker can do is recognize that giftedness in others and call it out and help them to see it too and encourage them to use it and give them opportunities to use it. And so when we as hero makers see that gift in somebody else's life and we fan that into a flame, we are blessing them. So instead of our old practice of just making sure that every slot is filled, getting warm bodies in every position, we release others to new opportunities as we bless them to use their gifts. Now, this is something that God modeled for us. Matthew chapter 3. You can open your Bibles there and kind of follow along. I'm going to trace this thread. But Matthew chapter 3, it's the baptism of Jesus, verses 16 and 17. Jesus, this is the very beginning of his earthly ministry. He's about 30 years old. He is ready to start his earthly ministry, to fulfill his messianic purpose. And so he comes before John the Baptist, and he is baptized. Now, if there was ever anyone who didn't need to be baptized, it was Jesus. I mean, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, of turning from your sin. Well, Jesus had no sin. He didn't need to repent. So why is Jesus being baptized? Well, I think part of it is he's setting an example for us. But I think another part of it was so that he could have this moment where he is blessed by his Father. Verses 16 and 17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. That's a father's blessing. Again, God blesses Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. We find this in Matthew chapter 17. Jesus takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. They're sort of the inner circle. And he takes them with him up on the mountain. And there, they get to see Jesus in his full divine glory. The veil of human flesh is lifted, and they see him in sheer brilliance. Mark says that his face was dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them, or his clothes were dazzling white. His face was brighter than the sun. Luke says as bright as the flash of lightning. And the three disciples are awestruck by this display. And then in verse 5 it says, he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And so the Father blesses Jesus. Now Jesus, before he ascends back into heaven, in Luke chapter 24, he takes his disciples, and this is what we read in verses 50 through 53. "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." So Jesus blesses the 12. We saw last week, or a couple weeks ago, how in Acts chapter 9, Jesus not only blessed the 12, but he blesses the apostle Paul through Ananias. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, it says, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.'" And can you hear the blessing in those words? He's a chosen instrument of mine. He's my beloved child. And then, of course, Paul, having been blessed, having received the blessing, he in turn blesses us. He blesses his students, his readers, those that he's pouring his life into, including a young evangelist named Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 5, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." Do you hear the blessing in those words? Timothy, you're my beloved child. And there's a recognition of God's gift in his life. God's working in you, Timothy. I can see God's hand working through your life. And he blesses Timothy. Timothy also had another source of blessing, not just from Paul, but did you also notice the blessing that reached Timothy's life from his grandmother and his mom? So moms, you have a tremendous power of blessing in the lives of your children, just as fathers do. Now in all of these blessings, as they flowed from the Father to Jesus the Son, from Jesus to his disciples, and then from the disciples to us, I want you to notice several characteristics of a hero-making blessing. And the first characteristic of a hero-making blessing is that it's public. Praising someone before others. There's nothing quite as affirming as being praised in the presence of others. That has tremendous power. And when God, before all of those people, and since it's included in Scripture, basically before all of eternity, he says before everyone, "This is my Son. I love him, and I wouldn't trade him for anything in the world. And it's that public aspect of the blessing. But how many times do we communicate our love and our blessing in private, but in public, we're silent? Or maybe we even tear down. I'll tell you one area where we're really bad about this is in our marriages. We might tell our husband and our wife, I love you, in the privacy of our homes, but what do we say about our spouses in public? And I say this as a guy, knowing when guys get together without their wives and they talk about their wives, I know the kinds of things guys tend to say. I remember several years ago, I was quite discouraged after spending some time with some guys, and they were just really beaten up on their wives. And I was complaining to Teresa about it, and she's like, oh, honey, you guys got nothing on girls. When the ladies get together without the boys, whoo-wee, it can be vicious. And I know we excuse it by saying, oh, I don't really mean it. It's just male bonding, female bonding, or it's just for a few laughs. But think about this. Are we depriving our husband, our wife, of the blessing that they need as we build them up in the presence of others? And whether we realize it or not, when we build someone up or we tear them down, our words affect our own view of that person. The more negative things we say about somebody, the more our own view of them goes down. Whereas if we say positive things about them, our view of them goes up. And it isn't just our view it affects. It affects the view of others, too. And so if we're constantly saying negative things about someone, guess what other people are going to think of that person? And how are they going to see them as a potential hero if they hear us criticizing them and putting them down? And so our words have power. And so, you know, it's one thing to know that I love my daughter. It's another thing for me to privately tell her that I love her. But it's another thing for me to publicly declare that I love her and that I'm proud of her. And I'm so proud of the young woman she's growing into. And I'm proud of what God is making in her life. So I want to encourage you, whenever you're trying to be a hero maker, and you're trying to bless someone else, make a part of that blessing public. Say something public about it. Now, this brings us to point number two. Just because the blessing is public doesn't mean it's not personal. A hero-making blessing is public and it's personal. And I want you to hear the heartfelt intimacy and affection when Paul calls Timothy, my beloved child. He doesn't just call him a fellow worker or a student, but he is a child in the faith. We need to quit assuming that the loved ones in our lives know that we love them. And I hear people say, oh, I don't have to actually say it. They know it. And I know some of us grew up in homes where we very rarely heard the words from our dads or maybe even our moms, I love you. You mean the world to me. And we look back on it now, and sure, we know they loved us and we can see it in all that they did. But how we longed to actually hear them say it. We needed to hear those words. And God models for us a love that is deeply personal. You see, in the ancient world, when you would identify someone as your son, that was an incredibly important act. because you were saying, when you say, you know, you are my son, you are making that person equal with you. And you're saying that, that all rights and responsibilities now belong to you. And so when Jesus said, or God says to Jesus, this is my beloved son, he's saying that all of his divine wealth and power and authority belong to Jesus. So when you bless the heroes in your life, make sure it's a personal blessing. Thirdly, a hero-making blessing is powerful. It's public, it's personal, and it's powerful. It's more than just an empty gesture or hollow words of praise, but true blessing imparts a sense of power. See, we see this when God blesses Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. He says the same words then that he said earlier at the baptism. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. But then he adds this. Listen to him. That was giving power. Because in essence, he's telling Peter, James, and John, you need to listen to him just like you would listen to me. And blessing was a transfer of power. We have the potential to speak power into people's lives. Not just encouraging words, but words with the power to bring it to pass. And our words of blessing, or their opposite, will bear fruit in the lives of others. So what I would like to do this morning is take some opportunity to bless. And I was thinking about this and how I wanted to do this and who I wanted to do this. And I want to start off by blessing a couple of people before I give you an opportunity to do the same. And what jumped into my mind were two godly women who've taught me over these last few weeks on a much deeper level what faithfulness and devotion in a marriage should look like. And I'm thinking of Mary and Sue back here. And just seeing your devotion and your faithfulness to Robert and Jack as you guys have cared for them. And everything that you've done is inspiring to me, and not just me, but to everyone here. And I know one of the things that you struggle with, and Sue, you and I talked about this. You know, you kind of feel like right now maybe you're in a position where your ministry isn't what it used to be. You know, last year you were here on Wednesdays helping prepare food and caring for all the kids. And now you think, well, I can't do this and I can't do that right now because Jack needs me. But I want you to know that what you are doing for Robert and Jack isn't just blessing their lives. You are a blessing to all of us. And I want you to know that you have a ministry. Every person here who's ever stood before God and made those vows of to cherish and to love in sickness and in health, we're touched by what you ladies do. It isn't just Robert and Jack who's touched by that. Every young person here who hasn't yet made those vows, I hope one day when they do, they're going to have a mental image of two godly ladies who exemplified, and they will have a mental definition of what that looks like because of who you are and what you do. And I'm thankful for you ladies. And I just wanted to take an opportunity to bless you and honor you and let you know how much that means to all of us who are still struggling to try to keep the promises we made years ago. Now, I know this might be a little unusual and messy, but I want to take just a couple of moments to give you the opportunity to find someone here that you can go say some words of blessing. Now, I'm not going to make you get up here and do it in front of everybody, but let's just take a few moments here. And Josh, is there some music or something that we could put on or just something? Somebody who's touched your life, somebody you want to bless, somebody you want to reach out to in some way, and I want you to speak some words of blessing into their lives. So go ahead and take a few moments to do that. And then I will close this out. Feel free to get up and wander to the other side of the room. It is okay.